Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. If there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As believers in Christ, we live in a new covenant that was ushered in the day Jesus died. He put an end to the old, and he ushered in something brand new for us. And within this new covenant, we have a brand new command, not those Ten Commandments that were etched in stone. We have things that have been written on our hearts and in our minds. And here's one of those new commands in verse 34 of John chapter 13. Jesus said this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Now, there's the phrase that makes this new.
Yes.
I mean, in the Old Testament, we see that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and strength, and that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we've already heard about love and have been encouraged to do so. But here, Jesus takes it a step higher, and he says, "I want you to love others as I have loved you." That's what this commandment is all about, and that's why it's new, because he raises the standard, so to speak. So on today's broadcast, we want to ask the question, in what ways has God loved you? How specifically have you experienced the love of God in your life? And then as you start to understand that and to see exactly how Jesus has rolled up his sleeves and extended his love towards you and has done things to benefit you, then you're going to start figuring out how you're to love others. And we'll get into kind of the mechanics of that in a later broadcast. But today we just want to ask the question, how has God loved you? Because that's going to be key to going forward in your Christian life.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we do want to hear from you right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. Whether you live in Canada or the U.S., it's a toll-free call as always, 844-322-2742. This is the best opportunity you'll have to call and get through right now, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from James. He says, tell me how Jesus' statement to the disciples that if we do not forgive, we are not forgiven, how should that be explained? Is this statement by Jesus given under the law, a conditional statement, or is it saying that if we do not forgive, it shows that we are not true believers? That's a kind of a new twist on that question.
Yeah, that's the verses right after the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and I think it really raises the standard of the law for us as well. So in the Lord's Prayer, we read that we are to seek God's forgiveness as we have forgiven others. So we have to ask the question, are we forgiving others? Because if that's how God's going to forgive us, we have to figure that out, don't we?
Yes.
Forgive as we have forgiven others. So I think Jesus is going to ask the question, so have you been forgiving others? Have you been releasing people from their debt of sin to you? Tell me what your record is on that. And then you're going to find out that you're probably not doing very good. And if that's the case, then you're in trouble, right? If you're to ask God for forgiveness based on the fact that you've been forgiving others, I think we're all in trouble. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to tell us, that we have to really understand that we have nothing to offer God. And he keeps driving us to the heart of the matter. You know, he says, the law says don't commit adultery, but I say if you lust in your heart. The law says don't commit murder, but I say if you have anger toward someone else in your heart, it's just as good as committing murder. And what is he saying? That all that's evil is within our hearts, and for things to change on the outside, something has to change on the inside. And when you see that your heart is leaning toward forgiving others, you know that God has done his work inside of you. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at, is that when you're praying, you're really asking God to do something in your heart.
Yes. Yes. I one of the things that helped me the most around the Lord's Prayer and the whole Sermon on the Mount thing, because I used to try to live my life by the Sermon on the
How'd
Mount.
How'd you do?
Oh, I did really well. Yeah. The realization that what Jesus did in the whole Sermon on the Mount, and in a very particular way in that prayer, is to explain the Mosaic Covenant to us in a way that is unmistakably demanding. And not because he was trying to be mean, he was trying to show us what the standard was. Paul put it this way in Romans 3. He says, you know, whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, the whole world held accountable. When I listen to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, it forces me to shut my mouth and stop making excuses and say, apart from you, Jesus, I'm in terrible shape here. Something has got to change, and I can't do it. Well, that kind of truth really sets you free. It doesn't say, well, you know, I can keep most of it, and on occasion, you know, I'll ask Jesus for forgiveness, and he'll be happy to do so because I've been so good. Now, this says, Richard, just be quiet. Come to Jesus and find out what he has
Absolutely.
To offer.
Absolutely. All of these things in the Sermon on the Mount, even to the Lord, with the Lord's Prayer to some extent, it's an assault, a major assault yeah. on our pride.
Yes.
I mean, we think we can do right by God. We mm-hmm. think we can live up to those righteous requirements. And time again, we're proven that we can't. So that pride needs to turn to humility.
Yes.
And I think this is part of Jesus' teaching to take that chisel out and start chiseling away at our pride yeah. so that we'll come to that point like many did in the book of Matthew. Then how can I be saved? Mm-hmm. If it's not this way, then, you know, this seems impossible. So what's the way of salvation?
Yeah.
And that's when you're ready to receive Christ. But until then, you're going to keep trying to offer up whatever you have to God and try to impress him.
Yeah.
And I was out at this men's conference last week in California and just had a wonderful time. But that's one of the questions we put out on the table. Have you ever done anything in your life that was so impressive that made God stop dead in his tracks and say, wow, it just doesn't work, does
it?
Doesn't
work.
I mean, and we have to realize that. And that's not a bad thing to admit. God
no.
is God. He is so much higher and bigger and superior to us in every single way. Our whole life and being and existence is in his hands. And by grace, he has allowed us to exist. And by grace, he's actually saved us and empowered us to live in the newness of life. It's not an old covenant thing. It's a new covenant thing. And that's what we have to realize. So Jesus, you know, part of the question was, is this an old covenant prayer or is it a new covenant prayer? And I think Jesus was certainly, I think, amplifying the message of the law, the spirit
yes.
of the law, to bring us to that point where we would see our need for Jesus mm-hmm. so that we could enter into this new covenant. We can't make it on our own in the old. We have to experience the saving life of Christ, the powerful grace of God, so that we can experience all this new life that we have in the new covenant.
Absolutely. Great answer, guys, and hope you're listening to that, James. Hope it's a help to you. Well, again, open lines 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are wide open. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to share with us how God has shown his love for you, well, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, February 7th through the 18th, those are the dates for our visit to Israel, and we have arranged for our listener friends, all of those who are going to be going, a trip that you will never, ever forget. Imagine the panorama of biblical history, stories you have read about and places you've read about also that all your Christian life coming alive before your eyes. The Jezreel Valley, site of the future Battle of Armageddon. Galilee, where Jesus gathered the disciples. The Mount of Beatitudes. The Jordan River, where John was baptizing. Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus asked, "Who do people say I am, and who do you say that I am?" The Dead Sea and Qumran, the discovery site of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, of course, and the shepherd's fields where the Messiah's birth was heralded by the angels. On and on. Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane. Just just an incredible trip that we have put together, and we encourage you to really, really consider going with us. So much to see, so much to experience. Israel with Basic Gospel and others coming February. All you need to do is click events at basicgospel.net for all the information.
Yes, indeed. And next week, I don't know which day yet, but next week, Eileen Mason will be joining us on the radio broadcast.
Yeah.
And she is the co-founder of the Israel Tour Company. And they're the group that is putting together the details of this trip for us. Mm-hmm. She just returned from Israel with another group from Oklahoma City. So she is going to join us and tell us about all the new and exciting things that are available to see in Israel that weren't there, you know, 5 years or even 10 years ago. I mean, archaeologists continue to uncover exciting things that just bring that much more light to the validity of the Word of God and give us the confidence to know that when we go into the Word of God, we really are reading truth, truth that will set us free. But she'll be here next week to talk to us a little bit about what's new in Israel, and I know you will be encouraged by what she will bring to the table. So stay tuned. We'll let you know what day that is. And if you're sitting on the fence about whether to go or not to go, I think it's time to jump off the fence on the side of going.
Yeah.
It will be a trip that will change your life. It's you know, a lot of money. I think the cost is $37.50, but that's your flight over and back. That's all your hotel stay. That's two meals a day, entry fees into all the different sites. So it's a bargain trip, actually.
Yeah.
But it's a trip that will absolutely change your perspective on your relationship with Christ as we look at that Holy Land through the lens of the New Covenant. We want you to come and be a part of it. All the information is at basicgospel.net.
Under the events tab.
Yes, indeed. Well, one of the things you just mentioned about Israel is going to the Jordan River and seeing the site where Jesus was baptized, or at least seeing the river. We don't, right. We may not see the exact site.
Might be the same water.
That's right. It's those waters. And many others were baptized there, and we'll have an opportunity to baptize folks if they so desire. Mm-hmm. But today we got an email about water baptism from a gentleman named Donald who lives in Arkansas, and I always love these emails. This starts out, Bob Christopher, you are totally wrong. I just love reading those.
Yes.
Well, the whole point of his email is that I'm wrong about water baptism, that it is necessary for new birth and for forgiveness of sins. If you're not water baptized, then you can't be saved. That's the point he's trying to make. And he quotes John 3:5. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, and he would interpret that as water baptism, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you have to be dunked in water, and then you have to be born again of the Spirit. If neither one of those, or if only one of those happens, I guess he's saying you can't be born again. Well, our position at Basic Gospel is that the work to save us is entirely Jesus's. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Water baptism is not a part of that equation of salvation. It is something that we can do once we are saved to celebrate what's happened, to identify publicly that we have been placed into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it is not something that is necessary for salvation. Mm-hmm. Not necessary at all. Yeah. The thief on the cross, he was not baptized.
Well, they
in
make
water.
Exceptions. For
yes,
that.
Yes, they do make exceptions.
There's the indicator that it's law-based and not grace-based.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I guarantee you, if somebody asked Donald more specifically about water baptism, it would get down to this. That I could say to him, well, I've been water baptized, I've been immersed totally, and I don't know for sure if he's a part of this particular denomination, but I've been told by folks in that denomination, well, that baptism doesn't work. You have to be baptized in our waters by our pastor in order to be saved. So it's not just water baptism, it's water baptism by them. That's the thing that saves. Well, we got to get back to the fact, folks, that it is all about Jesus. He alone has the power to save. We who were dead in sin, there's nothing that we could bring to the table. There's nothing that we could add to that work. So Jesus initiated. He came. He became one of us. He died in our place. He took the sins of the world. He took my sins. He took your sins. He bore the punishment. He was buried. And then on that third day was raised back to life. He ascended into heaven. He was given the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we come to him by faith, when that grace of God moves our hearts in such a way where we say, yes, Jesus, yes, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're born again into the kingdom of God. That's how that works. Water baptism is not about that, is not in that story. It's not part of the equation. It is by grace, through faith, in Jesus. Yeah. Period. End of story.
Yeah. And lest you think we're just making this up, all you have to do is go to the scripture passage that he quoted and look at it in context. Just before this, Nicodemus, who's in the conversation, says,
right.
Well, how can someone be born when they're old? I can't enter back into my mother's womb. So he's talking about physical birth. And Jesus says, no, 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 you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And then he says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. He and Nicodemus are comparing natural human birth with the rebirth by the Spirit into the Spirit based on what Jesus has accomplished. We're not making this up. This is what the Scripture says, and you can only get to the point that, that our writer got to by pulling Scripture out and making it say things that it doesn't say.
Right. They call that eisegesis, putting into the text what's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be exegetical, where we just let the Word of God speak for itself.
Yes.
I love how John put it in his very first chapter of his gospel when he said, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. There is no mention of water at all in that particular verse. It's in receiving Christ, believing in his name, that we are born again from above by God himself.
Yeah. These are vital truths that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. And friends, I think it's very important that we support this message.
Yes, and we are in the final month of our fiscal year. It ends on June 30th, and it is vital that we meet our year-end goals, because what you're doing when you donate to us is to enable these kinds of conversations, whether we do it through email or directly with a person on the phone or in our offices when people call in. We exist to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ into people's lives, to free them from the legalism. We're all natural-born legalists. If left to our own devices, we will kill ourselves with legalism. And so we get a chance to bring Jesus to people so that it breaks the bondage of legalism. It frees them to walk in the Spirit by grace through faith and to experience literally a changed life, a life that could never change apart from what Jesus is doing in and through you. And your gifts to us enable us to do that. You are, in fact, partnering with us. You are giving that message just as surely as we are. And we can't thank you enough, but we do have this need. We need nearly $200,000 through the end of this month to meet these goals, and we don't hesitate to tell you that and to say, please prayerfully consider what you can do to help right now, today. You can call us at 844-412-2742, or you can go to our website and just click on the giving link.
You'll donate.
Donate, and you can participate in the gospel in a way that literally changes people's lives. There's nothing better.
Nothing in the world better. Again, donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-412-2742. Well, here's another one like where the rubber meets the road. This came in by email overnight, guys. This is from Stephanie, who wrote to us. She says, I am reaching out to you for a biblical approach to alcoholism. I've been married to my husband, she says, for 19 years, who over time has turned into an alcoholic. He is not violent towards me or his three sons, but the alcohol is altering his body, mind, and reasoning. It's attacking his memory and his body. He has lost a lot of weight and is very frail. He always says that he is not harming his family, but he is with his behavior. I attempted to get him help at an inpatient hospital treatment facility. He went for a couple of weeks to sober up. In a couple of days, he was back to hiding and drinking again. Now it's worse. His father drank as well, and I don't want this to generationally pass on to our sons. I love my husband, she says, and feel a tremendous burden. My question is, how do I protect myself as a Christian wife? My husband is also a believer, often stating that he grew up in the church. I continue to pray to God for direction. I just want biblical perspectives. That's from Stephanie, who wrote to us overnight.
Well, Stephanie, we appreciate that question, and we certainly feel your pain, and our hearts go out to you. And we certainly want you to feel safe and protected in your home and in that environment. I would say, first and foremost, that when your husband is drunk, I think you need to, walk away or make sure that you're not, close by where things could get out of hand. So you'll just need to weigh those situations and use common sense and act accordingly. As far as getting help to your husband, the best thing to do is get him Jesus.
Yes.
That's the real need. We've had so much experience over the years in dealing with folks who are struggling with alcoholism.
Right.
That when they really come to Christ and really do so genuinely. You know, a lot of times alcoholics will say things just to get others off their backs, and they have no real intention of changing. They want to continue to drink because it brings them some sense of pleasure. It brings them some sense of gratification.
Or release from pressure or whatever.
Or something. Yeah. Or it's covering up a lot of pain
on
the inside. So that's their coping mechanism. So they may say things with their lips, but in their hearts and minds, their intention is to continue to do what they've always done, to continue to handle things the way they've always handled them. But when somebody really comes genuinely to Christ and recognizes their need, we see some things start to happen in a very, very positive way. But that's a process. You know, we keep saying, Lord, take the desire away. And we're just hoping for, that magic silver bullet that it's all gone. Well, as soon as life gets hard again, as soon as pressures come your way, your tendency is going to want to go back. And get a drink and handle it that way. That's why it's such a vicious cycle, because you've built patterns, and those patterns are hard to break. Those habits are hard to break. But it starts with coming to know Christ and really experiencing His saving life, going from death to life. So we have some resources we would love to send you if you're listening, or we can respond back to you and send some things that may be helpful to your husband. If he's interested in talking with us, we would love to talk with him as well. But for you, keep praying for him. Use common sense when he is drunk. And then every opportunity you can, try to tell him about the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that's where real life, real answers are found.
And don't ignore your own needs in this. Alcoholism affects everyone.
Yes,
in
it does.
Family, the kids, the wife, everyone. So don't just try to tough it out and think it's not impacting you. It is. And you need to have someone you can talk to and work through some of this stuff.
Yeah. Friends, we want to remind you, as Richard said, that your gifts are what make it possible for us to be here every day, sharing the love of Jesus Christ with hurting people at their time of need, right in their homes and cars. The need is tremendous, but you know what? We have the answer. You hear it every day. Now, we ask you to help us to help others to hear the good news. We ask you to step up with a special gift today if you can, but for sure by the end of the month. You can do that by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-412-2742. And with your gift of $20 or more, we're going to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's excellent CD series, Love Is. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you. We'll be here for a teaching edition tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.